And we can tell you it takes more than a kilt to make Celtic music, especially when you get adventurous and perform some experiments, stretching the boundaries of the genre. Our guest this hour is making a name for himself in Celtic music with ties to four different bands that take somewhat different approaches to the music. Elias Alexander went to school in Ashland. He went away for college, made a home for himself on the other side of the country, but frequently crisscrosses the country making music. He'll play a show on Sunday at 7:30 at Havrashir Hadash in Ashland, and he joins us in the studio with friends and instruments. Matthew Kremelman and Paul Turnipseed are here as well. Good to see all you guys here. And Elias, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thanks so much for having us, Jeff.
So tell us a bit about yourself. I mean, how long have you been playing music? This is a, sounds like a lifelong pursuit for you.
I would say I've been playing music for as long as I can remember. It wasn't always the same thing. I was doing some percussion. I played drums when I was a kid. We had a little Nirvana cover band in town. I played a recorder. I played violin. And then I discovered the bagpipes when I was 14, when my mom took me to Scotland. And that totally changed everything. And I became really involved in the Scottish music scene.
Did your mother regret taking you to Scotland?
After I started taking up the bagpipes, I wouldn't blame her if she did. Although I switched from the drum set to the bagpipes, so I think maybe that was the one case in which it was kind of a relief.
The bagpipes are an interesting instrument because the reactions always seem to be there's no middle ground. Enthralled with bagpipes or you don't want to be anywhere near them.
That's very true. Yeah.
So how long does it take to learn how to play the bagpipes?
That's one of the most common questions I get, actually. And basically, you have to spend about a year, maybe like slightly less than a year, playing the practice chanter, which is just the piece of it that you play the tunes on. And then you graduate to the full bagpipe, and then you have to spend time just blowing the drones. And basically, you have to strengthen up your lips and your lungs and everything to get ready to play.
Because you have to fill the bag that you're squeezing to get the sound out.
Yeah, so it's about maybe a year and a half before you can actually play any tunes on it.
You come from a creative family, I'm presuming. I met your mother in an acting class we figured out 15 years ago, and she's written books and plays and has been here on The Exchange. In fact, she was here in November to talk about her play Taking Our Life, Suicide, Ecocide, and Daring to Live, which I guess you also performed in.
That's right, yeah, and wrote music for.
So it sounds like your artistic efforts always had support within your birth family.
Yeah, I was really lucky. My mother really prioritized supporting me in doing creative things. I was really lucky in that way.
You gave the support back, it appears, because you also wrote some songs for Taking Our Life. Is that right?
That's right. Yep. I composed the music for it, a bunch of songs.
So when you went away, I mean, how did you choose where to go and what to pursue in the way of a field of study and specifically more narrowly within music?
Well, actually, I started out by wanting to be an actor. And I went to Northwestern University in Chicago to study acting. And then I quickly found that at that time in my life, that wasn't the right place for me to be. So I took a year off. I traveled. I worked at Shop and Cart, actually, for about 6 months. And then I saved up some money and traveled around Europe. Then I transferred to Middlebury College in Vermont, where I wanted to do environmental studies. But it took me a while of being there to realize that environmental studies wasn't it either. And I had been playing music all along and getting more and more involved in it. I took another half year off from there, and I wound up in New Orleans. And New Orleans completely changed my life. I ended up just showing up to people's gigs, playing harmonica solos and fiddle solos, and found that I could do decently well making a living down there playing music. And so when I went back, I switched all my classes from environmental studies, and I finished out college with a year and a half of only music stuff. So that's what happened. And after that, I ended up in Boston, which has a great traditional music scene for Scottish and Irish music. I wanted to pursue that, and I had friends there, so I moved to Boston.
So you certainly have traveled around enough to get a bunch of different influences from the sounds of it. I mean, if you spent some time in New Orleans and all the influences there.
Absolutely. Yeah, big time. That changed everything.
So is there a bit of a melding of genres for you now? I mean, particularly when I look at what you do with Solsha, which is Afro-Celtic punk?
Afro-Celtic
funk. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, one letter, but a huge difference in sound. that's right. New Orleans and studying some West African music in college really brought in a lot of other things. And actually, what we're doing today and what we're doing on Sunday is also – it's pretty much outside of the Celtic genre. So yeah, I'm lucky to have been exposed to a lot of different music.
Yeah, I was telling the audience that I wasn't sure what you were going to show up with. So not the bagpipes today. You do have the guitar.
Not the bagpipes. Yeah.
So I mean, we've learned from other interviews with other people involved in music who do it for a living that you know, you don't have to think in terms of, well, this is classical and this is Celtic and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, do you even think in terms of genres in that sense, or do you just like, you want to hear some good music?
Yeah, I like all kinds of music. I would say I like just about everything. Even country, which is usually the one that people go, oh, I like everything but country. I love country. I even like pop country. I think, you know, it's almost communities. There's communities of people that music circles through, and the community of traditional musicians is a wonderful one to be a part of. And I also I've been writing songs forever and really not performing them and performing, you know, the Celtic stuff instead. And what I'm doing now with this show on Sunday is I'm premiering a bunch of songs that I've been working on that are a little bit outside the Celtic world. And to me, part of the reason I want to do that is because I want to be in a larger conversation with more people. The Celtic world is wonderful, and it's very small, and it's very, everyone knows each other, and that's beautiful. It's a great thing about it because it's a great community, but I want to be in the conversation that we're having as a nation with more people.
Because not enough people are having the conversation in the Celtic world? Is that, I mean, it's too small a realm, maybe?
You know, you can write and I have written many bagpipe tunes that I've put just all of my heart and soul into. And they reach a certain number of people that really get it, you know, that hear them and understand what I'm saying through that music. But it is a very small number of people. And I desire to be in a conversation with more people who, you know, who I come across, who I meet on my travels, and want to be able to speak to them and hear back from them through music as well.
I know people are probably sitting listening to the radio going, would you let the guy play some music? Well, I wanted to make sure we had a little chance to relax here, so we'll save the music for after the break, which is coming up now. Elias Alexander is here with friends Matthew Kremelman and Paul Turnipseed. And we will, in fact, get to some music. We have three songs planned for the rest of the hour. Back with Elias Alexander and Matthew Kremelman and Paul Turnipseed and you in a minute 30 here on the Jefferson Exchange. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're spending some time talking with Elias Alexander about the music he makes. He's brought some friends into the studio with us as well. Matthew Kremelman and Paul Turnipseed are here to make some music with him. Elias is, he went to school in Ashland, was homeschooled here, and new people at Ashland High School, has been out of town for a few years, going to college, came back. He's all over the place. He lives generally in New England now?
Boston, yeah.
Okay. So that's his base of operations, but he tours a lot. He's playing a gig this Sunday at Havara Shir Hadash in Ashland at 7:30. And while his realm is usually Celtic music, he's going a bit outside that realm, he points out, with some other new songs he's worked on. So he's here with guitar instead of bagpipes, and Paul Turnipseed's got his electric guitar. Matthew Kremelman is here on the, what is that thing called? A cajon, that's right. I'm going to learn this one of these days. You should know, it's the name of a famous pass, right? Mm-hmm. Cajon Pass. Anyway, so we're talking about music here and playing some music as well. So how big a catalog do you have now? It sounds like you've been writing songs for quite some time, Elias.
Oh, I don't really count. I don't know.
The guy before you counted, he's got 16 terabytes worth of pictures.
My God. Wow.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you don't. All right. So, how long working on this particular series of songs that, as you mentioned, is a bit outside the bagpipe and kilt realm?
It's been years. Some of these songs are older, and some of them are very new. So It's all been building up to this.
Mm-hmm. So this first one is you alone?
I'm going to do this one alone, yeah.
Okay, and this is called My Own Voice?
This song is called My Own Voice, and it's a song that I wrote when I was in a place feeling very stuck and like I was unable to be myself and express myself in the world. And so I wrote it, you know, for myself and also for anyone else who's feeling a little bit stuck.
Okay, Elias Alexander and My Own Voice here on the Jefferson Exchange.
There's a place in the woods where my star be. Little birds take wing where lightning strikes the twigs that crack and sing. A place of evergreens where I can court and be alone. Where frost would be the brother of my bone. In this icy breath that I can see, nothing but the truth would pour from me. Don't think ahead, don't look behind. Just place your careful steps and let it find. Could carry wood each day and water to the place where I build my tiny hearth in the shape of my own face. And with the time I couldn't stop the storms from knowing exactly where my soul rests among them, though it leaves no trace. And since I can no longer hide, I have to let my voice into the light. Don't think ahead, don't look behind. Just place your careful steps and let it find you. Let it find. Let it find. Let it find. Let it find you. Let it find you. And so I might be leaving, but I'll be back soon. Only when I can speak with my own voice can I be true to you.
Elias Alexander on the Jefferson Exchange with My Own Voice. He'll be playing. He's even getting a round of applause here from Matthew Kremelman and Paul Turnipseed. And will they all be part of the band on Sunday at Hot
That's
Rock?
Right. That's right. We have a six-piece band, actually. We have these two, and then we have Sabrina Valenzuela singing and Adie Bell also singing and playing some piano. And we have Garrett Baxter, who's another kid who grew up in town now at up in Eugene studying music, and he'll be playing bass.
And that's at 7:30 on Sunday at Havarah Shir Hadash in Ashland. I have to ask about influences. I'm sure this is a common question for anybody in music, but nobody is just, you know, a vessel in a vacuum. You get influenced by all kinds of things around
Absolutely.
You. I just wonder who are some of the people that you listen to that got you to a sound like what you're producing now yourself.
Oh gosh, you know, I mean, what genre do we want to talk about? If we're talking about you know, Celtic music, I've got a whole world of influences. If we're talking about the stuff that we're playing on Sunday, I would say some of my biggest inspirations have been like Amy Winehouse, even Anderson .Paak. You know, obviously the Beatles kind of snuck in there. That that piece that I just did actually began with an old-time banjo tune that I learned from my friend Max Godfrey, who's a terrific old-time musician from Georgia. So there's a ton of stuff in there. There's some hip-hop, there's some jazz, there's some blues, and there's a lot of folk.
So, you know, when you're creating music, I mean, I can imagine, you mentioned that the banjo song was sort of the starting point for this, and it turned into something else. And I've often wondered about somebody who is fluent in several genres, as you appear to be, if there are times when you have started a song and said, boy, this is not a guitar song. This is more of a bagpipe song, or in the other direction, or this is more of a violin. You play the fiddle too, don't you?
I do, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think usually things spring into my mind with kind of already themselves a little bit, whatever the tune is. So it might, you know, usually bagpipe tunes come to me and I hear the pipes playing them.
they have a way of overriding things, don't they?
Yeah. And then usually songs spring into my head and I find a way to accompany them either on the guitar or on the piano or something like that.
You do play piano too?
No, but I write on the piano. You know, I don't play it enough to perform on it, but I play it enough to kind of figure out some chords and stuff like that, really.
Yeah, that's kind of easiest right there to just push this and you get a note.
Yeah, exactly.
Do the different instruments you play express different parts of you?
You know, I don't really think of it as, to me, it's not the instruments, and I don't even really think of myself as a musician. That sounds kind of weird, but every time someone says, like, oh, well, you're a musician, I kind of go, am I? You know, I feel like what I'm after is the connection between the soul of a performer and the souls of the audience. That's what I'm really that's what I live on. And that can happen through music, and it can happen through theater and through film as well, and through many other art forms. It's just a way of entering into a space with other people and having an experience together that elevates everybody, and we all learn things and we all grow.
Have you ever, I know in some of the bands you play in with the bagpipes, do you ever sing and play the bagpipes? Obviously not at the same time, but within the same song?
I do, yeah. Solsha, the Afro-Celtic funk band, it's a band that lets me kind of play the bagpipes and act like James Brown in the same band.
It sounds fun. So tell us about Solsha. It's got 8 other members in it, right?
That's right, yep. We have a horn section. We have a funk rhythm section. We work with an amazing percussionist from Senegal named Lamine Touré, and he brings a lot of his rhythm and sensibility to the project. And yeah, it's an incredible thing to be a part of, for sure.
I noticed reading something about a concert in Massachusetts by Solsha that costumes are encouraged and multicultural mayhem will ensue, which I noticed you've carried on your own website as well.
That's right. Yes.
Multicultural mayhem?
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Might bear a little explanation.
Well, you know, it's really cool. We just had a show recently in Somerville in the Boston area, and you know, half the crowd that shows up are, you know, there's African immigrants in the room, and there's Scottish Americans and people who play the fiddle and people who dance and play percussion, and so you know, Lamine would call out a rhythm to people and people in the audience would call back, and we had his cousin Malik Ngom come up and play with us as well. And then we had like 4 fiddle players who were in the crowd get up and jam with us as well. So it's just it's a party every time.
And I noticed a review of Solsha, at least one of the performances, a tsunami of hope and high energy, intercultural awareness washing onto our shores just when we need it.
We're very thankful for that, that quote.
Sounds like high praise. Any pressure there that to have to deliver something that the society needs when you're up on stage?
Oh dear. I mean, you know, we're always as performers, we're always part of the conversation that's going on in society. We can't help it. Even if we're just writing love songs, it's, you know, everything that we do is as people who are in public feeds into that.
Here again, not a vessel in a vacuum. I mean, you're certainly responding to things around you.
Exactly.
Another song here, I guess. Morning Prayer is the next thing you guys have chosen.
Yeah, and
to
it's
do.
A good time. It's a good time to do this because it's very much along those lines. And this song, I decided a little while ago that I was going to wake up every morning and write a song as a kind of a prayer in the morning. And this was the first one that I wrote. And I don't think I've actually finished any other ones that I started in that way. But
right. So we have Elias Alexander on voice and acoustic guitar, Matthew Kremelman on the cajon, and Paul Turnipseed on electric guitar playing Morning Prayer.
These melodies are not easy. They kick and moan like hungry animals. They flutter out of grasp too soon. Themes for a breaking world. These changing lives go by so fast. I try to live it to the fullest, but there's always something missing, isn't there? And let me take your hands, caress the lines, the ravage of time, and help me understand. What would it take to put you back together? How can we start to do this for each other? Yeah! Young people of the West, so much confidence in our stride. We guard against our fears with pride, so afraid we're all the same. Ourselves, yeah. Seeking it all, we were promised it all now, and then we come up empty-handed after searching so long, yeah. After searching so long, yeah. And let me take your hands, caress the lines, the ravage of time, and help me understand. What would it take to put you back together? How can we start to do this for each other? Understand
What would it take to put you back together? Yeah. How can we start to do this for each other? How can we start?
Morning Prayer by Elias Alexander on the Jefferson Exchange, Matthew Kremelman on Cajon, Paul Turnipseed on electric guitar. Wow. You guys, I have to hand you a compliment here because you really are set up to play a 12 by 16 foot room. The acoustics are nice. You guys worked it out well. I think John's going to sneak in here and move a microphone behind us here, but more to talk about with Elias Alexander. There seems to be a regular rhythm built into your touring year, Elias. It seems like you're in Florida around spring break and then north as the weather warms. Is that a fair perception?
For the last 2 years, it's been that way. Yeah, I started playing with a Celtic rock band down in Florida, and they do a lot of touring down there in the spring, which is great, because let me tell you, Boston is not a pretty place to be in the spring.
Oh, the spring, mud season, as it's called in New England.
Yeah, it does. Spring doesn't come there until about the end of May.
Right. I remember from going to high school in Connecticut. You have obviously played Ashland before, and I wonder if there are any particular feelings or nerves that crop up upon coming back to your hometown for a gig.
You know, I love Ashland. I love the community. I love the mountains. I love the place, and I'm so grateful that I got to grow up here and that I get to come back here. And I've played here with a lot of different bands, and they've all been within the traditional music realm. So until the Taking Our Life show, that was all I had done in town. And I think when I did the Taking Our Life show, which my mother, Shoshana Alexander, wrote, and I was performing songs more similar to these songs in the show, I think a lot of people, you know, saw that and were intrigued by it. So I'm hoping that some of those people will come back and see this show.
So are some of the songs you'll be performing from that show?
There's one song that we'll mm-hmm. be doing, yeah, mm-hmm. From that show.
So, touring as much as you appear to do, I mean, when do you have time to write and record?
It can be difficult sometimes, but, you know, sometimes I write sitting in the back of the van, and I have a little recording setup that I bring with me everywhere that fits in my suitcase with my bagpipes, and I can just pull that out and set it up in a hotel room or anywhere I am and just do a little recording, so...
Would music be possible without the van, the invention of the van?
I know, right? The van. I'm always in the back, like, playing guitar, basically.
Well, it's a good accompaniment for a road trip. That's good to know. Yeah. Elias Alexander, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, with guests Matthew Kremelman and Paul Turnipseed. We'll come back and talk more and hear some more music from the group when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 25. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're having a chance to visit with an Ashland-raised musician who has gone out and about and made music in a bunch of different ways, generally in traditional music. He plays bagpipes. He plays guitar. He plays fiddle. He plays banjo. Little piano. No banjo, really?
Banjo. No.
Okay, darn it.
Oh, not yet.
Made me a liar again. Elias Alexander, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, with Matthew Kremelman and Paul Turnipseed here as well. Paul plays guitar. Matthew is on the cajon today. And we're getting a bit of a preview of music that they'll be performing on Sunday at 7:30 at Havra Shir Hadash in Ashland. And so thanks again for being here. We were talking about touring as much as you do and time to write and record, a lot of stuff in the back of the van. I assume you don't have a day job. I don't see with your touring schedule how you could.
I don't.
When was the last time you had one?
I used to do landscaping when I was in Boston. You know, I gradually did more music and less landscaping until I was doing no landscaping. But I'm really grateful for the time landscaping, because being outside is really nice, and working with your hands. And I actually wrote a lot of music while I was doing the work.
It's fairly contemplative work, I would think.
Yeah, it is. It's great. Yeah.
If you'd been an accountant or something, it might have been a different thing. Too much other things going on.
Definitely. Yeah.
So I want to talk about your other. We've talked a little bit about the Soul Show, which is your Afro-Celtic funk.
That's right.
Okay, I want to make sure I didn't call it punk again. The Bywater Band is, uh-huh. is another project of yours.
Yeah, we put out an album a couple of years ago, and that's much more within the vein of Scottish traditional music, although it's mostly original tunes. It's all acoustic. It's bagpipes, fiddle, flute, guitar, and bass.
And then there's also Mac, which I guess is Ryan McCassin, you're the A, Elias Alexander, and Colin Cotter.
That's right. That's a West Coast-based band. Colin's down in California, Ryan's up in Washington, and we also play pretty much, you know, contemporary Celtic music.
Mm-hmm. But I understand you did a Justin Bieber cover with Mac?
We did, yeah, we did. And it's funny that you ask about that because, you know, most of what we do is it's, you know, really heartfelt traditional music. And then, you know, we did this one Justin Bieber song, Love Yourself. We did a cover of it and kind of made it a little bit Celtic. We put a reel in there and we put a funny video of it out online, and it's funny how it's funny the people that I meet who are like, oh, you're the guy from that video, and I'm like, really, that's the only thing that you've seen, you know, that I've done. So
did you get any tweetbacks from Justin Bieber or anything like that?
Unfortunately, no. Justin Bieber doesn't love us.
Darn it. Okay, and there's another band yet. In fact, probably two more to mention here. New Millennium Jelly Rollers?
That's right. It's been a while, but that was with Max Godfrey from Georgia.
He's the banjo player?
Banjo, fiddle, guitar, everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And was that just strictly Appalachian kind of music?
Appalachian and Piedmont kind of stuff.
And then there's another one that you just mentioned in your 2018 highlights on your website, Farsan.
That's right, a new project that does Gaelic music, Gaelic or Gaelic. We do a lot of that centered around kind of Scotland and Cape Breton in eastern Canada. And we combine the kind of Gaelic singing with pipes and fiddle playing and step dance.
So you're obviously very serious about that. Not to imply that you weren't before, but I mean the fact that you'll actually go to Cape Breton, where there are so many people who play that kind of music and are deeply into it. Some of the great.
It's an amazing scene there. It's incredible. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm just impressed though at the exposure you've had to things that are sort of similar with similar pasts anyway, because the Southern Appalachian music is a lot of Scots-Irish stuff from way back, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Southern music came out of that, as well as a lot of West African influence and a lot of there's some German stuff in there and that kind of mix as well.
I noticed too that among aside from all your musical stuff, that you also list yourself as a sometime comedian.
Yeah, you know, I do some events where I'm required to kind of be an entertainer. So I tell some jokes. Mostly they're focused around kind of Scottish stuff, kilts and haggis and all that.
All the easy things to joke about.
Exactly.
Don't forget the other one about how all Scottish cuisine seems to be based on a dare.
Oh boy.
I can say that because I got Scottish blood in me, right? All right. So I guess the last song you guys are prepared to do is called I Take My Leave?
That's right. Yeah. And this song was written after a particularly good therapy session, actually. I just felt I had struggled with some depression. And as so many people in my generation do, I think. I saw a therapist and I felt really amazing for the first time in a while, and this song basically just came out fully right in that moment. So it's called I Take My Leave. And so
all right, Elias Alexander,
so there you go, kids.
Seed and Matthew Kremelman here on the Jefferson Exchange.
I take my leave from all this new hip. I take my leave from all of this pain. I walked right out that door and closed it. I will not see the world that way, no. And when I look around, God, this world is so pretty. Everywhere I look, people work so hard with so much hope, yeah. And when I look around, I see my purpose is beauty, yeah. Oh, making beauty makes us whole, oh, now. Well, sometimes my mind gets all wrapped up in telling me I ain't worth piff. I ain't worth piff. Every time I have to smack it. Oh, no. I'm not going back there. You know depression is a piff. Woo! And when I look around, God, this world is so pretty. Everywhere I look, people work so hard with so much hope, yeah. And when I look around, see my purpose is beauty, yeah. Oh, making beauty makes us whole. Now, take it away, Paul. Could not pull my thoughts away from pain. Each day was hard to face, and every morning of my future seemed the same. But it wasn't, and now you show me all the beauty I could not see alone. This world is so pretty. Everywhere I look, people work so hard with so much hope, yeah. And when I look around, I see my purpose is beauty, yeah. I said making beauty makes us, oh, oh, now. Nah. And when I look around, God, this world is so pretty, yeah. Everywhere I look, people work so hard with so much hope. And when I look around, I see my purpose is beauty, yeah. Said making beauty makes us, oh, oh, now. I said making beauty makes us, oh, oh, yeah. Said making beauty makes us whole.
The song is called I Take My Leave. That is Elias Alexander on acoustic guitar and lead vocals, Paul Turnipseed on electric guitar, and Matthew Kremelman on the cajon, which subs for a drum set here. Nicely done, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. I just realized when I was standing on the other side of the room getting some videos for our Facebook page that you realize the room is actually the shape of a garage. So it's like a perfect garage band room.
There we are. It all begins right here.
Never thought of it in those terms before. So you were talking about the motivation behind that song. You had a good therapy session, but are there some other darker things that you sort of wrote on days when you were heading to therapy or had therapy sessions that weren't particularly fun?
There are many that I wrote. There are many that I've written over the years feeling lost and alone, as so many of us do. And especially having moved to the East Coast by myself and not having any family out there or anything like that. There have been some lonely times for sure.
You have mentioned that you don't count, so you don't really know what the Elias Alexander catalog is. But I mean, do you have a laptop filled with songs or folder full of
so
songs?
Many, a couple of so notebooks? Many, so many, so many. And if you saw my phone, my voice memos in my phone, there's hundreds of ideas in there.
Thank goodness for phones, right? Because now when you've got a song idea, you could just like pop on the recorder.
It is an amazing tool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So is a writing session then to sit down at the piano with and listen to the clips that you got? Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to do this.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Usually the good ones stick with me and I remember them anyway. But then I go back into the phone and get the details of the emotion, because, I feel music is mostly best right when it's created, when you're right in the middle of the emotion of that. So I try to listen back and bring that back into it.
Some songs really insist upon being written, don't they?
They do. Yeah. Some just won't let go. And even, sometimes it takes years, from the time a song is started to when it is finished. And there's all kinds of stuff that happens in there. And sometimes it's like, sometimes you happen upon the perfect words years later and you're like, oh, okay, this is what I was waiting for. I had to experience all this other stuff to get to that place where I could complete this piece. So,
but I've watched the process too with other people who said, I had a rough night, at 3 o'clock, my song said, you got to write me now, man.
Yeah,
this is a fresh thought. It's with me right now.
But that's a beautiful experience. The more I travel, the more I think that creation is just the best thing that we can do as human beings on this planet Earth. The act of creation, the act of bringing something into the world and giving it to the rest of humanity and giving it to ourselves.
That is the true wealth, isn't it? The kind that doesn't diminish, because you can convert energy, you can use up raw materials, but creativity.
It's beautiful.
Giving.
It's beautiful, and it never gets old. There's no other every generation and every new people in every new time bring something new and beautiful and different to it.
So I wonder about the since you pushed the envelope a little bit, certainly with the envelope on Celtic music with the Afro-Celtic funk. I have to make sure I keep calling it funk and not. I like the idea of Afro-Celtic punk, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, if you change the beat and sped it up a lot and added a bunch of really distorted guitar, then, you know, that's what you'd end up with.
But I wondered, so now that you have hung out with some of the notables in the music business, making Celtic music out in Nova Scotia and Cape Breton, I wonder if you got any flack for stretching boundaries or anything, or if that is just an expected part of it now.
You know, the thing about that is, within the world of performing Celtic music, I think it's, you know, mostly you make a name for yourself by stretching things a little bit, although that's not true of every artist. But I think that everyone kind of gets that we're here, we're artists, we're living in this world where there's so many different influences. And, you know, I can go to the pub and play really traditional music on pipes or fiddle or whatever and really sink into that scene. And I can also, you know, play this music, which is basically, you know, it's just funk and soul and it doesn't, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. I think we have to admit that none of us are one thing in this world. And so I think everybody gets that, including in the scene, you know.
I noticed that you do pass this on too, that you do help train other musicians as well, and I noticed that you work with the Creekside Fiddle Camps in Ashland.
That's right. I've taught at the Creekside Fiddle Camps in Ashland for years, and actually Garrett Baxter, who's playing bass with us on Sunday, came as a high schooler to those camps and was already an amazing musician, and I hadn't seen him since then until I was planning this gig, and I thought, man, where is that guy? You know, maybe I can call him up and get him to play, and he is. So I'm really excited about that.
I'm pretty sure the Creekside Fiddle Camps actually hold the record of occupancy for this room because Dwayne and the big kids and the really little kids working on the like quarter size violins. We got about 14 people in this room all playing violins.
It's a beautiful sight in the summer to see them all running around the park, you know, in the creek playing fiddle, and it's just wonderful.
It's a good time. So where off to after here? And I mean, and do you like arrange blocks of time for the various bands you're in, or
pretty much? Yeah, everything gets scheduled out by, you know, 9 months or so, and so, you know, kind of make time for different things when they come up.
And is Boston the Boston area going to be your home for the foreseeable future?
I actually may be moving to New York. Don't tell anyone.
oops. Except for the few thousand I heard just now.
But you know, but I'm always traveling around. So I'll be everywhere. I'm headed up to Seattle after this, and then back over to Boston for a bit.
Elias Alexander, are you an Ashland native? Were you born here, or did you?
I actually was born in California, but we moved up here.
Through your adolescence, anyway.
Yeah, we moved here when I was 10, I think.
Elias back in town for a show on Sunday at 7:30 at Havarah Shir Hadash in Ashland. Paul Turnipseed joined him on electric guitar. Matthew Kremelman on the cajon. Good to have you all in the studio today. Pleasure to meet you, Elias.
And thank you so much.
Best of luck on your journeys.